is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. On today's program, I want to look at some basic facts. And when you know what the facts are, then you don't have to speculate. You don't have to guess. And that's what a lot of people in the USA are doing. They're speculating. They're gambling. They're hoping. And the same is true throughout the European Union, Australia, New Zealand, and other continents like Asia, etc. The first thing that I want to bring up is what we've been talking about for quite a while, which is, you know, when you understand history, you don't have to guess about the present or guess about the future. It really, it's a no-brainer, a totally no-brainer. If you know the past, you know what will happen in the present, and you won't be mystified about what's going to happen in the future. It's just that simple. So we have a basic problem in the United States of America and a basic problem in the Western nations and other nations. The only nations that I've noticed that don't seem to have this basic problem are nations which have painfully learned the lesson of history. I began to first notice this when I was hosting my other radio program, the Paul McGuire Show, for 10 years. And I would take callers from all over the United States of America, and people would call in and talk, et cetera, et cetera. And I began to notice something or reinforce something that I had already discovered, which was whenever I got into a chance conversation with somebody who grew up in or escaped from or came from a Marxist communist nation, they had no confusion whatsoever about what our presence and what the future would be if communism or Marxism ever took hold in the United States or any other nation. They were not mystified by it at all, because the experience was so cruel, so brutal, so dehumanizing, so non-freeing that they could never forget it. They learned the lesson that history provides anyone who wants to check it out. So whenever somebody would call up the program, or I would meet somebody and end up talking to them or whatever, and I either knew from their voice, or somehow they'd reveal it to me in conversation. But as soon as I found out or detected that they were from places like an Eastern European nation, a former communist Eastern European nation, or that they had come from a communist nation, or that their parents had come from a communist nation and told them all about it, like the people who managed to escape Cuba. If they told their children about it, the children would never forget. That's the difference, by the way, between the United States of America. The big difference between the East Coast of the United States of America and the West Coast of the United States of America in terms of immigration is that the immigration that comes into America from South America and Mexico, from the West Coast, they have been indoctrinated or pre-indoctrinated into viewing socialism as the answer. So before they even get to the United States of America, they've been pre-programmed to expect government to solve all their problems, and they're indoctrinated into believing socialism and communism is the answer. Now, in the exact opposite, people who ended up in Florida, people who escaped Cuba, or people who escaped some of the other South American nations which were communist, they had the exact opposite experience. They experienced firsthand what it was like to live under a communist dictatorship, either in a South American nation or in Cuba. And it was so horrible, so brutal. They were starving, they were hungry, people were being shot, they were being arrested, they had no rights, that they have no mystical viewpoint about communism and socialism. It's branded into their minds, the horror of it. And the same is true across the globe, whether it's people from an Asian nation who managed to escape communism, or it's people from one of the many former or current communist socialist nations in Europe, Eastern Europe especially. They have no idealized view whatsoever about communism. They view it as the plague, as the pandemic. They want nothing to do with it. So that's an important thing to understand. And what it boils down to is this. If you or your parents or loved ones have experienced communism, Marxism, or socialism for yourself, you know it's a nightmare. End of debate, end of story. If you have been in a nation where you're being seduced into communism or Marxism, see, the people who are coming across the border from Mexico, if Mexico is like, it's a hybrid of many different things. I was reading, doing research today, and there was like, politicians in Mexico right now, they're having an election, and politicians are being killed, and there's a bloodbath of dead politicians in their elections. This is not abnormal. This is what goes on in a third world country. And there are people inside the United States of America who are very rich, very powerful, very affluent, the globalists primarily. They want to turn America into a third world nation, third world dictatorship. Why? Because that's the best way for them to put the nation in total lockdown and have total control. And so whenever I would ask a question or talk about a subject on the Paul McGuire show, the older program, people would call up. And if they came from a former communist nation or a communist nation, they got it instantly. They got it better than the American segment of the audience. Of course, the largest percentage of people that listen to my program were Americans. But the Americans didn't get it anywhere near as well as the people who tasted communism, socialism, or Marxism themselves. And I would say that openly on the air, because I was trying to wake up the American percentage of the audience. And I was deliberately playing off the segment of the audience who had experienced communism firsthand against the American segment of the audience that was having a love affair with communism and Marxism. And the reason they were having a love affair with it was because they never experienced it, and so they didn't know what they were talking about. And I remember in California, because the show broadcasted daily, 4 hours a day, all across the United States. In California, the signal went into every town, city, anywhere you could potentially drive or hike in the state of California via two radio stations. The Paul McGuire show played. Silicon Valley, way up by Mount Shasta, Carmel, California, LA, Mexico, I mean, you name it. So there was a pocket, a large pocket, and a large number of people who were regular listeners to the show who they either came from communist Eastern European nations as kids and they came to America with their parents, or their parents told them about their experiences growing up in Eastern European communist nation. You know, and their memories were so horrible, so brutal, that they had, once again, they had no illusions about communism and Marxism. They knew it was a horror show. And so when I would bring up a topic, they would be aggressively active. They were set on fire because they saw, they didn't want, with everything in their hearts and minds, because they paid an incredible price escaping from the communist nation that they used to live in. They feared greatly, and appropriately, they feared greatly that America could slide into a communist Marxist nation. And they were very, very, very emotional about it. And if I issued a call to action, like, you know, encouraging people to participate in something or whatever, they would, you know, just in this one geographic area outside of San Francisco, where there was a huge population of people that were Christians who came from former European communist nations, if I issued a call to action or something, or brought up a subject, they would turn out in the thousands. I'm not talking about 3,000, 5,000. I'm talking about 60,000 people, Christians, would stand outside of the schools in a particular area to protest and to stand up for Christianity. 60,000, where in other parts of California, where you would actually have more Christians, you would actually have more Bible-believing Christians, it was far, far harder to get Bible-believing Christians to really stand up for anything, because they had never experienced firsthand the horror of communism and Marxism. And so this is important to put forward at this time, because now many of you are in different age categories, and some of you have seen a lot of stuff and some of you haven't seen a lot of stuff. But the key issue is that there is a tremendous amount of covert power being channeled in our nation as a strategic attempt to subvert the United States from within and ignite a communist Marxist revolution from within. And remember the rule of communism and Marxism. You move forward through lying, deceit, deception. It never moves forward by communicating or revealing truth, because it has no truth worth telling. The only truth communism and Marxism has is truth that must be hidden. Because if people knew the truth about communism or Marxism, they wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. So, this is a serious thing. Now, one of the things that when I was doing the research for my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, I uncovered a very, very important and powerful truth that I want to pass on to you. And the truth that I discovered is this, and it's a truth that's still active. Let's say that the first communist revolution, even though it wasn't called communist at the time, but essentially it was the world's first communist revolution, was the French Revolution. I explain all this in my book, The Greatest Battle. And the French Revolution was a revolution led by philosophers who were militant secular humanists. They openly despised and hated Christianity, and they believed that man was God, man was becoming God. And so the ideas, the philosophies of the French Revolution, is the mother of all communist Marxist revolutions. Now, the French Revolution occurred not that long after the American Revolution, but the difference between these two revolutions is the difference between night and day. The French Revolution was built on the philosophy of humanism, and a hatred for Christianity, and a total rejection of Christianity. The American Revolution, conversely, was built upon the foundation of Christianity and a Christian worldview. So you have two opposite revolutions built on two opposite foundations, which produce two opposite results, because remember, ideas have consequences. Good ideas have good consequences, the American Revolution. Bad ideas have bad consequences, the French Revolution. French Revolution ended up, as all communist revolutions do, in massacre, bloodshed, immorality, anarchy, etc., etc. They had guillotines. I have stood physically on the place where the guillotines are and photographed it for research for my books, and saw things that most people and most tourists wouldn't see in Paris, in the streets of Paris. Because when you stand in the exact geographic place in Paris where there were rows and rows of guillotines in which the French revolutionaries beheaded anyone who was an enemy of revolution. Standing there on that exact spot and know what to look for, you will see the all the occult symbols, such as there's a direct line of where the guillotines are. You look at, down this direct line, you look directly into a pyramid with the all-seeing eye of Lucifer on it, symbol of the Illuminati. It's not an accident. And there's other symbols of Nimrod from Babylon, who becomes the sun god, Ra. And you see a secret is being revealed. The great secret that's being revealed about communism and the French Revolution and Marxism, and it's also a great secret that involves the United States of America. I write about it in detail in The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, and in A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volumes 1 and 2, which you get at paulmcguire.us. You need to understand what the great secret is. Because what the great secret is what it's the secret coding and secret message that has been passed on through secret societies for thousands of years, going back to ancient Babylon. So this is the secret. And I prove it and document it in the book and open it up for you. The secret is that the French revolutionaries, many of whom were philosophers and very educated intellectual men, the secret was is that they had a venomous and passionate, all-out hatred for Christianity, and they were secretly conspiring as they ignited this French Revolution. They were secretly conspiring to abduct all of the Christians, all of the Christian leaders, and in their secret conspiracy, they were planning to slaughter all the Christians and completely eradicate from France Christianity. And the hatred that these French Revolution philosophers had towards Christians and Christianity, it wasn't a hatred based on economics. It wasn't a hatred based on a difference of viewpoints. It was the only way you could describe it was a demonically pathological hatred, and a hatred that was so intense that the only real explanation for it was a hatred driven by pure evil and satanic power. Now, I really am asking you to freeze frame some of the stuff in your mind and never forget it. Your children will never hear this in the public education system. The globalist elite will never produce movies or whatever. They don't want to know about this. The communists and the Marxists and the socialists certainly don't want you to ever know the truth about this. But if you're going to survive, and if Christianity is going to survive, and if any freedom in America is going to survive, if your children are going to survive, you must know this secret truth, and you need to know what to do about it. Because if you are just playing church like the average evangelical Christian is, you are, whether you realize it or not, you are marching gleefully towards the guillotine, and you're going to have your head chopped off in a revolution. Now, maybe it won't be a guillotine. Maybe it'll be a bullet. Maybe it'll be gas ovens like Hitler used, or Christians being rounded up by the hundreds of thousands and put into camps where they're killed or worked to death. No, that's not conspiracy theory talk. That's not paranoia talk. That's the talk that comes from anyone who bothers to study the lessons of history and learn from those lessons. That's what it is. So this is the danger. Now, most of you know my background. I was raised in an atheist household. I was raised in a household that, I mean, they didn't want to kill Christians, don't get me wrong, but I was raised in a household that probably, you could say, embraced most of the ideas of the French Revolution. I mean, they didn't embrace violence or anything like that, but the philosophy, the humanistic philosophy of the French Revolution, they embraced. And when I was a teenager, I was very active in radical politics, not knowing in my boyhood foolishness, not knowing that the radical activism that I was very much a part of was secretly being financed and organized by wealthy globalists, communists, and Marxists, and socialists. I mean, I know that now because I took time to educate myself. But when I was participating in it, I had no idea. I remember I was demonstrating with the radical activist Abby Hoffman when I was 15 years old. Most people don't even know who he is. Now lots of people know who Abby Hoffman is because Netflix has a very popular movie they're running called The Chicago Seven, which was the famous trial in Chicago where Abby Hoffman and other radical activists like Jerry Rubin and others were put on trial for organizing a demonstration outside of the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. So all of a sudden, Abby Hoffman's name has become popularized again. People know who he is. But I was demonstrating with him when I was 15 years old. And I was naive. You know, Abby Hoffman and other radical activists know how to talk a very appealing language targeted towards young people. But I was deceived because I did not know that really what he was really all about was communism and Marxism, and that secretly he would profess to be and did profess to be a communist revolutionary. I was naive. I was deceived, just like young people today. And then, I don't know how many years ago it was, 10, 15 years ago, I'm guessing, approximately 15 years ago. I remember reading an article in a major magazine that Abby Hoffman had died and that he had committed suicide. And in that article, it says that Abby Hoffman had since come to openly admit, he publicly admitted towards the end of his life, he publicly admitted that he was a communist and a communist revolutionary. And even though I had figured that out by the time I read that, it still shook me up. It shook me up because I said to myself, man, I mean, how easy it is to be deceived, how easy it is, you know, to be deceived by somebody like that. Because when I was following him at 15 years old, going to demonstrations where he was. I mean, I'd be standing next to him. And I had no idea that he was a flagrant communist, or that most of his fellow revolutionary pals were also communists. I didn't know that because of my naivety and because I was getting all my information from the New York Times. Now, unless you grew up in New York City, you really won't get that. I mean, you will get what I'm saying. So I'm going to share it with you. But to really get it, you would have had to have grown up in New York City. Okay, so New York City is packed with liberals. It still is today. That, by the way, I go to New York City often because I have family and relatives that live there. I go there on different research projects, et cetera, but the reason why I would never move back to New York City is because, to be quite blunt, it's infected with a toxic liberalism that I find, as a thinking person, pathological. And I'm going to stop what I'm saying now. It's not that I'm afraid to say it. I'm not afraid to say it. It's just that I've said it. I mean, I don't need to go on and on. The liberalism that distorts people's thinking is just mind-blowing. So now, well, you know, I live in California, so the argument could be made very validly is if you were able to recognize how toxic the thinking is in New York City, which it is, and then how come you're in California? Because the thinking in California is just as toxic, if not more toxic. And that's a very valid question, which I can't answer at this particular moment. Not that I'm dodging the question. I don't mind being asked the question. And if I wasn't, communicating to people literally all over the world, I would give you a very quick, not a brief, but a very quick answer. Because, you see, when people embrace, it's like when the tide comes in and you're at the beach. When the water first comes in, it may not touch your toes. Eventually, that water, when the tide comes in, starts to touch your toes, and it goes over your toes and up to your ankles and go even higher. That's the way communist and Marxist ideas infect a culture. It's like the tide coming in. You hardly notice it at first, but then it bathes everything. And communist, Marxist, socialist, humanist thinking, by the way, they're all the same. You read the Humanist Manifesto, you might, which, by the way, my book, I have, I talk about the Humanist Manifesto 1, 2, and 3. And if you read the Humanist Manifesto, for all practical purposes, it is the Communist Manifesto, just that they call it the Humanist Manifesto. But once you embrace that worldview where man is the center of the universe, which is what both communism does and humanism does, it embeds your mind with a built-in distortion factor. I mean, literally, you cannot think straight and embrace communism and Marxism. It bends and warps your mind. It's like you were dropped on your head as a child. And I don't mean it as a joke. It was like you were dropped on your head as a child and you can't think straight neurologically. That's what communism does. Because it's a complete lie. It's completely bogus. It's completely phony. It's propaganda. It's brainwashing. There's not an ounce of it that's true. And it's not true economically. It's not true sociologically. It's not true spiritually. In any area that it functions, communism is built completely on a lie and on deception. And the top dogs, the dictators, the ultimate leaders in communism, communist revolutions, they know this. They have openly said it. Lenin and Stalin, two of the most powerful and ruthless communist leaders in communist revolution in Russia, openly would talk about communism as being a kind of horrific, destructive plague on mankind. Yet they were drunk on their need for power and control, and they didn't care about anybody. And then you had Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, who wrote the Communist Manifesto, which was largely borrowed from the contents of the Illuminati Manifesto. And I talk about this, and I explain and list the comparisons between the Communist Manifesto and the Illuminati Manifesto in my books, Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1 and Volume 2, and The Greatest Battle, which you can get now at paulmaguire.us, and you need to read it. You need to read it, man, because it will blow your mind in a good sense. It'll expand your mind. You'll understand what's going on. You won't be a donkey. Now, I would prefer to say another word, but people would be offended if I used the other word. I'll give you a hint. It just doesn't have as many letters, but it's a synonym for donkey. And God did not create you to be a donkey. He created you to be a man or a woman made in his image. And communism is a false god. And communism and Marxism enslaves and brings into captivity any nation, any group of people, any individual that embraces communism is put in a jail, a prison, because it's ultimately, see, this is the secret of it. Once again, we're approaching this deep, dark secret of communism. The deep, dark secret of communism, I'm going to tell you right out front, but then you're going to have to read so you can know that what I'm saying is true. The deep, dark secret of communism is it's a satanic religion. It's a satanic religion created by the Illuminati for the purpose of enslaving the masses. No one will tell you that. And I don't want to sound like I'm bragging, but most people, including historians, they don't know the deep, dark secret. They don't even know how it functions because they're so proud and they're so arrogant. And you know, they strut around with their degrees from these Ivy League universities and their participation in think tanks, etc. And they're so puffed up. You know, the Bible says, professing to be wise men, they are as fools. They don't get the truth, the nitty-gritty street truth of what communism is. Communism is a satanic religion that was created by Satanists, the Illuminati, for the purpose of enslaving, bringing into captivity every man and woman, and all of mankind. Why? Because communism and Marxism is a satanic religion, and Satan's desire is to be God, except he doesn't want to free mankind. He wants to enslave mankind and bring all of God's creation into captivity. That's the deep, dark secret of communism. And I prove it in my books. You will not. There are very few authors that will take you to that place because they don't understand it. And I think it's not that they're not intellectually capable of understanding it. It's just a bitter pill to swallow. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. We'll be back in a moment. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. This is Paul McGuire. The tragedy is that we have millions of young people in the United States and other nations who right now, as we speak, are being brainwashed, programmed, and indoctrinated into Marxism, communism, and socialism. But they're oblivious to the fact that there's a dark, dark secret regarding communism, Marxism, and socialism that almost no one understands, and that kind of baffles me, really. But when you study the writings of these communist leaders, as I have firsthand, I quote them in my books, when you study what they actually personally believed and what they actually said, you discover that time after time, in communist leader after communist leader, you discover this strange thing, and that is, you know, communism and communist leaders pretend to be publicly atheists and humanists. They claim not to believe in any supernatural world. But the truth of the matter is, secretly, and what they don't tell the people, especially in the nations where they're the dictators, secretly, they do believe in the supernatural. Secretly, they believe in Satan, demonic powers, the occult, and they utilize and they harness and they access Satan's power, the occult, and demonic powers. And you find this over and over again as you look at the lives of the different communist leaders. So, okay. Karl Marx, who authored the Communist Manifesto along with Friedrich Engels. When we look at Karl Marx's life, he publicly claims to be an atheist. In fact, he was raised a Christian. And from reading his writings, Karl Marx was raised to be a Christian, and in his childhood, boyhood, he was a fervent Christian. That's very, very strange. He was a fervent Christian. And then his heart was turned towards Satanism and evil. And he became a Satanist. His sister was head of a satanic church, which Karl Marx joined. And he was deeply involved in the occult and Satanism. And as a consequence, he hated Jesus Christ, the Bible, and Christians passionately. And so one of his purposes in writing the Communist Manifesto, which was essentially a blueprint of communism, his purpose was to absolutely destroy Christians and absolutely destroy Christianity. And he had an irrational hatred towards Christianity. And you find this over and over again with these communist, Marxist, socialist leaders. This pathological, irrational hatred for Christianity. And yet, at the same time, they're always publicly professing to be scientists and humanists, and they don't believe in the supernatural and blah, 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 blah. But it's all a lie. Stalin and Lenin were similar. They were into Satanism. They were deeply involved in the occult. They networked with high-level occultic leaders that claimed to have demonic supernatural powers. And they financed research teams to the Arctic and other places looking for occult power centers, just like Hitler did, looking for occult power centers before they would make decisions, military decisions or economic decisions or other decisions. They would consult mediums and talk to the dead. I mean, they were deeply involved in the occult. And then the other thing, which is something that we really can never forget, is that before Karl Marx wrote the Communist Manifesto, was practically a mirror copy of the earlier written Illuminati Manifesto, which was written by the very wealthy and powerful occultic Illuminati. And as I do in my books, I compare the Illuminati Manifesto and the Communist Manifesto, and you can see for yourself in my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America. You can see the bullet points. And you've got to ask yourself the question, why would the wealthiest people in the world, the Illuminati, want to redistribute their wealth and their power among the common men? That doesn't make sense, because that assumes that the Illuminati and these wealthy men and the heads of the international banking families, that assumes that they are truly altruistic, they're truly kind, they're truly loving, and they're truly compassionate, which history tells us they certainly were not. They were selfish, greedy beyond belief, ruthless in their business dealings, and they worship Satan. So nobody bothers to think through this. I have talked to Christian leaders, I have talked to humanist leaders, and never, never do I run into anybody who seems to grasp this glaring concept which dominates any discussion or examination on communism, Marxism, Satanism, etc. And it's this. Remember, communism is sold and pitched to the public as if it was really going to provide social justice, as if it was really going to redistribute the wealth fairly, as if it was going to give everybody great universal health care. Everybody would have enough to eat. Everybody would have a great job. Everybody would have all the freedoms, freedom of religion, freedom of speech. And ultimately, the biggest sales line in communism and Marxism is that these systems are going to bring about a workers' paradise, paradise on earth for the common worker. Okay, now, before all that was said in the Communist Manifesto, that was put in the Illuminati Manifesto. Why would the Illuminati, these globalist elite, these wealthiest men in the world, heads of the international banking families, why? They have everything. They're all powerful. As I document in my books, and you can get them in book bundles, like The Day the Dollar Died, you will see, as I name the names of the banking families and the individuals, it was the international banking families, the Illuminati, the globalist elite, that financed the communist revolution. And Wall Street also financed the communist revolution. I list the names for you in my book. And this was the Illuminati, too. They financed the communist revolution. When Adolf Hitler and the Nazis took over Germany and began to conquer Europe, it was the Illuminati, the international banking families, the globalist elite, super wealthy, and the Wall Street bankers who financed both sides of World War II. So the international banking elite financed communist Russia. It financed America and Britain, etc. And it financed Adolf Hitler and the Nazis. It financed all sides in the war, and it made money ruthlessly by financing all sides in the war. Now think about that. Now I'm going to be delicate here, but there are presidents in recent memory. When you look at the lineage of some of the presidential families, you discover that they were the bankers for Adolf Hitler. They owned the banking firms on Wall Street that financed Adolf Hitler. And they're also publicly known members of German occult satanic secret societies such as Skull and Bones. And Skull and Bones and the international banking families and Wall Street, they are financing both sides of the war on World War II, making money on the bombs and guns and planes. And American soldiers' bodies are dropping left and right. Think about that. I mean, just contemplate that. The media won't tell you. The media won't tell you because the media is owned by the globalist elite. You see, right now, in our discussion, we're at the place where people's heads start to slam against the ceiling because they can't bring themselves to believe the truth, even though it is the truth. They can't bring themselves to believe that any group of people, like the international bankers, could be so despicable, so horrible, that they could commit such crimes against humanity. But the fact of the matter is they did, and they do, and they're doing it now. And how do I know that? Because when you learn the lesson that history repeats itself, and those that learn the lessons of history, if you fail to learn the lessons of history, then you're doomed to repeat the lesson you should have learned. That's where we are in America right now. Because stuff is starting to repeat itself over and over again. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. Take advantage of our book bundle discounts. Order them now while you can still get them at a discount price. And remember, knowledge is power. So knowledge is priceless. And the power you get from knowledge, it extends to every area of your life. You know, there are so many things that I've learned in studying history, etc., that I've been able to apply to life, business life. Because when you gain knowledge in one area, it extends to other areas. Let me give you an example. When you study the Old Testament and you study the history of the Jews, you see how God over and over again commands his people to invade the enemy. And he commands his people never to give up the land that God gave to the Jews, never to give up the land for the sake of temporary peace or prosperity. And God warns, because if you do, you'll be slaughtered. All right, that is a theological and a historical truth and a biblical truth. But you see, I apply that to everyday life, and I apply that to other people's everyday lives, because whenever I'm tempted to give up land or give up territory that God has given us, I am reminded of the Jews and what God told the Jews, and that when you seek to bring about a false peace by compromising, by giving in to your enemy, that's the fastest way to be destroyed. So what I've learned, you could say, well, that's what the Bible says. That's what Bible prophecy says. That's what theology says. Yes, 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 and yes. But it's applicable. The knowledge that I learned there is applicable to every area of life. And I could go on and on and on about the biblical lessons and the biblical knowledge that I've received from studying the Word of God and history in light of the Word of God. And it is totally applicable to your everyday life, including interpersonal relationships. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit now paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Wherever you are on planet Earth, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. We were talking about the fact that when you gain knowledge of the Bible, or the Bible's perspective on history or whatever, that is a transferable concept that can be transferred to your own personal business decisions, relationships, all kinds of areas of your personal life, relationships, etc., etc. Because you see, truth spreads into different areas. So do lies and deception. So back to this secret that's out in the open, but very few people know it, because we live in an age that, even though we have at our access all kinds of technology for reading and learning and studying, very few people, people are using their cell phones to play solitaire. Play solitaire, I don't care. If that relaxes you, I mean, it's better than belting down a whole bottle of Jack Daniels in the evening. So play solitaire, I don't care. But balance in your life, you know. Bible says, regarding the Bible, study to show thyself approved. That passage is talking about studying of the Bible, but it's also talking about the studying of the Bible and learning how to apply specifically biblical truth to every area of your life. So this is the secret that must be understood, or we're going to perish as Christians in America, as Christians in Europe and Great Britain, as Christians in the Asian nations, as Christians in Africa, as Christians in South America. We're going to perish. And the vital data, the statistics, you know, I'm sure some of you have had, you've been in the emergency room, somebody's in critical condition, and stood by that bed, which is attached to all kind of electronic data, you know, with graphs and stuff. And what it's doing is it's electronically telling the doctors and nurses what the vital signs are of a particular patient, like what is their blood pressure and other stuff, critical life signs. And if any of these critical life signs starts to drop on graphs electronically, there's, you know, warning beep or whatever, and the nurses run to the room, because somebody's blood pressure is going berserk, either positively or negatively. Somebody could die, and there's other critical vital signs. Okay, so when you have knowledge, you're able to look at the reality all around you. You're able to look at your nation. You're able to look at your society. And you're able to recognize and understand the health, the well-being, the longevity, and how long your nation will survive. Because just like a trained nurse or doctor you've been trained in reading the vital signs, okay? Now, so why would the wealthiest people in the world, the Illuminati, the international banking families, why would they be the ones that would finance all the communist revolutions? And why would they be the ones that finance Adolf Hitler and the Nazis? They're not doing it because they're good people. And if you believe the propaganda that they're doing it to redistribute the wealth, then you need critical emergency psychiatric care. All right? And I'm not disparaging anybody with emotional, psychological challenges. Because these greedy, and they are greedy, just read the history of their lives, these greedy, selfish, globalist elite types, okay? It's all about them. They're not interested in sharing any wealth. And the record proves they don't share wealth. They just keep accumulating it, getting more and more and more. I was sometimes when I'm, I don't sit and wait anymore in offices or anything because I don't, we're still under all kinds of COVID stuff here in California. But on the internet or whatever, occasionally for my amusement, I'll click an article on Drudge Report. It was on the yachts of like Jeff Bezos's yacht that's being specially built for him. I think the cost of the yacht was like $265 million. And then they had several other yachts from billionaires. I mean, I won't even go into describing. This yacht was a palace, a castle, all rolled into one with various helicopter landing ports. And then there was like another super millionaire or billionaire, I can't remember who his name, it's a household name, and his yacht was palatial, but it also had a built-in submarine, so you could just like cruise underwater, and it had multiple helicopters, and it had all kinds of stuff, plus ballrooms, just because these people are making, they have accumulated trillions of dollars in wealth during the last 15 or 20 years. Okay. They don't give up their wealth. They'll sell a company, buy another company, they'll transfer their wealth. They're not going to give it away. So why do the elite finance communist revolutions? Because in the most ruthless manner you can think of, that is the easiest way to seize or steal a nation legally. You steal the nation, you steal all the assets of the nation, you steal all the people in the nation to function essentially as your slaves in terms of providing slave labor to you. And what appears to be a liberation of the people is nothing more than a mass enslavement of the people. For starters, when a communist revolution occurs, the people work at slave labor wages. The people eat the cheapest if they get food at all. They work long hours. They have no rights or liberties. Nobody's happy. They're miserable. So you have to understand communism and Marxism for what it is. The true nature of communism and Marxism is not to create a workers' paradise. That's the propaganda line. The true nature of Marxism and communism is to dominate, control, and ruthlessly use a people and a nation. And so they just move around the globe, subjugating nations. Now, look what's happening in the United States of America. These people you see on the streets demonstrating, looting, burning stores, stealing all the stuff, rioting, all that stuff, They're not organizing, financing, and creating that street revolution. The billionaires and the trillionaires hiding in the shadows, and you know some of their names, they're financing and organizing and paying these people money to demonstrate, riot, burn stuff down, and ignite a revolution. Why? Because what they're trying to do with the help of the media, because they own the media, they own the media. What you see on the media is paid for by the globalist elite. What they're trying to do is bring down America and bring in a communist, socialist, Marxist, totalitarian state. It's the same game plan that's been played since the communist revolution in Russia in 1917. It just plays over and over again. If you took away the money that's being poured in by the globalist elite into these street revolutions and these communist politicians, it wouldn't last a minute. And so what they're trying to do is enslave America. But you cannot enslave a nation where the people are educated, where the people have knowledge, where the people have rights, like constitutional rights, Bill of Rights. You can't enslave those kinds of people because they know their rights. They have a means of protecting the rights. They have the power to speak out, et cetera, et cetera. But look what's happening in our nation. It's the globalist elite through big tech that are crushing all voices of dissent. Free speech is being stolen. The right to bear arms is being stolen. The right to freedom of religion is being stolen. The right to freedom of the press is being stolen. And all the rights, all the liberties that came from the foundation of a Christian worldview are being stolen right in front of our eyes because the end game is very definitive and very clear. The end game is to make slaves out of the American middle class and working class. And you know what? That upsets people, that people go into denial and symptoms of being in a state of consciousness called denial is, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. No, that's not a conspiracy theory. That is an historical reality and a lesson from history being replayed before our very eyes. So, choice one, we stay in the zone of apathy and we will be enslaved and live. I promise you, we will live in the totalitarian dictatorship and so will your children, should the Lord Jesus Christ tarry. That's option one. That's where we're going now, by the way. Make no mistake about it. That's the direction we're headed right now. Option number two is to seize the time, recognize what God has called us to do at this moment of history, and do, for crying out loud, do what he commanded us to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples of all nations. Occupy until I come. And bring in a last day soul harvest, and then use everything in your power. Because remember, communists know this. Communists know this. Marxists know this. Communist revolutionaries know this. The battlefield is in the hearts and minds of the people. They know that, and that's why they're fighting in the hearts and minds of the people. That's why I wrote my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. So, the number one thing we should be doing is waging a spiritual war in the hearts and minds of people with the goal of weaning their hearts and minds to the Bible, to Jesus Christ, to salvation, to the Word of God. People who are won into the kingdom of God, then they have the Holy Spirit in them. They're able to see through the spiritual deception of communism, which is ultimately Satanism under another verbiage. That's what we have to do, and time is running out. Because remember, this globalist elite owns the media. It owns big tech. It owns Intel. It owns technology. It owns the vaccination companies. It owns stuff all over the place. So how do you do that? I remember when I was a kid, 15, when I was demonstrating with Abby Hoffman, and too naive to understand that he was a communist, I would read the early literature. This was in the 60s and 70s. I would read the early literature of the so-called revolutionaries like Abby Hoffman and all the others. And what they told us to do was far more simplistic because technology had not yet brought us the internet, etc. And they would say stuff like, print and publish a newsletter and distribute it, you know, promoting communist ideas. Hold rallies, you know, to promote communist ideas, or concerts to promote communist ideas. Win people one-on-one. You know, when you read all the stuff they told you to do and how simple it was practically a mirror of what you were taught to do, or should have been taught to do, being a Christian evangelist. I'm talking about an ordinary person who's simply obeying God's command to evangelize the lost. And so the idea was, and they would always say, the communists would always say, all politics is local. It begins with the grassroots. Over and over again, these communist revolutionaries would say that. Okay, so now we're in the age of the internet and cell phones and social media platforms, and so we have all these other options available to us. But if you look carefully, these options are being censored, stolen from us, and the doors are being shut very quickly. So that tells us the time is running out. If we're going to win the battle for the hearts and minds of mankind, if we're going to change people's hearts and minds, we have to do it now while the opportunity exists. Because in the near future, the opportunity will not exist unless we win the battle that we're facing right now at this second. So what does that mean? Well, essentially, what it means for us, Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church, it means that we do everything that we can, as best as we can, as effectively as we can, to win the battle for the hearts and minds of mankind, to go into people's hearts and minds and win them for Jesus Christ and the Bible, and save souls and impart truth into their inner man and woman. That's how we win the battle. That's how we win the battle. But we're not asleep. We recognize that the trumpet blast of the watchman has been blown. So, Paul McGuire Ministries in Paradise Mountain Church, the goals: communicate through every means at our disposal, social media, radio, television, audio, video, the internet, books, concerts, Paradise Mountain Church meetings, and then, of course, we televise and put on video all this stuff. And we take whatever we've been given, and we multiply it, and people come to Christ. People are changed. But the key is we have to be able to do this faster and more effectively because the clock is running out. That's why I took a picture. I had a picture taken. One of my family members took a picture of me standing by the clock in New York City, a famous clock at Grand Central Station. And if you'll notice, the clock is a few minutes towards midnight, which means time is running out. The picture is supposed to be a message contained in the picture. So the way we do this is First of all, we recognize the battle is spiritual. And so we fight the battle spiritually. And I thank every one of you who have chosen to be spiritual prayer warriors for me, my family, and this ministry. Without your prayers, I'm telling you this from the bottom of my heart, nothing gets done. There is no victory without your fervent prayers. I can feel your prayers. I can also feel when it's like nobody's praying. Your prayers are essential. I ask you for them and I thank you for them. Your willingness to spread our messages far and wide so we do an end run around all the robot censorship on the internet. Your spreading our message far and wide is essential. I recorded an hour or hour and a half program on heaven and salvation. The whole purpose of the program was simply to get people saved. Simply, it was recorded as a tool for you to use to spread far and wide so that people that you care about will come to Christ. And they, if you'll send it out, a certain percentage of the people that you send it out to will get saved. Not because of me, not because of you. Well, yes, because we're being faithful to do our jobs, but I'm telling you right now, the Lord Jesus Christ said that the fields are white with harvest. The Holy Spirit has already prepared their hearts to be saved. You send that message out, the program I did about a week or so ago on how to get into heaven, and a certain percentage of the people that you send it to will get saved. Or it will plant the seed in terms of pre-evangelism to prepare their hearts to be saved in the near future. But if you don't send it out, they're not going to get saved. Okay? Very simple. And then finally, you can help us win this spiritual war by seeking the Lord in prayer and simply asking Jesus, Lord, how much do you want me to give to Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church? In terms of a contribution or donations, and whatever the Lord tells you to give in terms of financial contributions or donations or gifts, just obey Him, childlike faith, trusting that if you're going to take care of God's business, God promises to take care of your business. And that works not just in finances, it works in every area of life. Wisdom and knowledge and volunteerism and everything else. You know, one final thing. I was reflecting on this the other day when I was talking to my wife, Chris, and I realized that one of the secrets to how long our ministry has lasted and other things is that I always practice the principle of volunteering. My wife practiced the principle of volunteering. I volunteered for years with different ministries, never expecting to be paid, never expecting to be hired, didn't have a trick card up my sleeve. I just volunteered. And I'm telling you that if you will volunteer as you're led of the Lord, God has a funny way of opening doors for you and giving you favor that you would normally never be able to get that kind of favor or open doors. But you see, He honors that heart that is generous in all things, in loving people, forgiving people, volunteering, so on and so forth. May the Lord bless you. I thank you for your notes, your letters, your emails. I read as many of them as I can. I try to pray for your prayer requests when I read them, because I don't want to forget. I thank God for the fact that you were touched through this ministry, and I thank God for your really tender, loving, humble spirits, and your notes and your emails and your communications to me are uplifting. They really are uplifting in ways that you'll maybe never know till you get to heaven. They mean a lot to me, and I consider you my friends in Christ. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.